Well, hello there, and welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. I'm Debbie Giorgiani, and this is your show, Take Two with Jerry and Debbie and you. That's right. You are the key person. You're the person we wait for. You're the person we long for. You're the person we expect. So you can't get started with your weekend yet. I need your response to this because we need to absolutely shout to the world. And I think St. Carlo Acutis would be so happy if we do this. We need to shout to the world where today is the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. We dedicate the whole show on this first Friday of November to really just sharing with the world how much we as Catholic Christians love the Eucharist, the source and summit of the Christian life. We need to absolutely just blast it out to the world. And thank goodness for EWTN that we're on a global stage. Okay, so let's go, you guys. Stop what you're doing. Pull over safely to the side of the road. If you went to Mass already, tell us, how was that? I'm going to Mass right after the show. Okay, this is so exciting on this first Friday to really focus on the real presence, the most holy Eucharist, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the most holy Eucharist. Oh, it's so awesome that we are Catholic. Please, I am absolutely begging you, shout it to the world. We need to do that. So fill up every single phone line. Tell us your love for the Eucharist, your experience of the Eucharist, your understanding of the Eucharist. If you have questions about the Eucharist, if you are not Catholic and you are listening to Take Two, you are part of the family. So call in. I'll happily discuss with you what I know. I've been a catechist for over 25 years. I've been on Catholic radio for 15 years. I have a graduate degree in theology. I'm not trying to brag, but I've been here for a long time in ministry. By the way, it's my wedding anniversary today with Marty, and Sunday is my 60th birthday. So I've been around a long time, and I'd love to share with you my personal love of the Eucharist. So if you're not Catholic, please call in. Here is the number. Matt's on the phones, and the number is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Now, I know you might be busy on this Friday, and so maybe you want to text your love for the Eucharist to us. So all you have to do is text the letters EWTN to 58177. You wait for our response. Then you text us your first name and how much you love the Eucharist or your question about the Eucharist. Okay, and then just know that message and data rates may apply. Again, it's text the letters EWTN to 58177. Okay, and just follow the prompts. Okay, but I'd rather hear your voice. So let's fill up every phone line. Plus, if you love the Eucharist, if you have had the Eucharist on daily Mass bring you closer to our Lord, if you have had some mystical encounter, if you've had a miracle, if you've had a breakthrough in your spiritual life, guys, this is the platform. This is the episode to share your experience. Do you want to evangelize? I am giving you the opportunity to use this show to shout it to the world. If you walk away, if you think somebody else is going to do it, if you just say, I don't have the time, well, I don't know. It's a missed opportunity for you. I'm not going to miss that opportunity. EWTN has given us this incredible platform for 10 plus years. Let's use it wisely, please. Can you kind of hear the fire in my heart and in my soul and in my being? Because it is so important. We have a chance to transform the culture with our stories, with our Christian witness, with our testimonies. Please take advantage of it. And you don't have to be Catholic to call in. There go the phone lines. That's the way to do it. Who's ever calling right now, you absolutely appreciate and love our sacraments in our church. We are sacrament rich in Holy Mother Church. And please pray for our priests. Pray for vocations. We need the priests. They bring us the sacraments. We need them. And so let's pray for vocations, for holy families that are supporting vocations. You know, it's interesting. I am turning 60 this Sunday, and honestly, I'm not trying to trying to fish for, happy birthday sentiments. I really am just saying that because my mother was right. My late mother, Connie, she was amazing. She would say things and I would really dismiss it. I would say, oh, mom, yeah, whatever. You know, typical daughter, right? But my mother was so right. She said, Debbie, I'm telling you, when you get older, when you get to be 60 or 70 or 80, if God allows you to be that old, she would say to me, Debbie, you're gonna look back on your life and you're gonna realize there's not a lot of time left and there's so much more work to do and there was so much wasted time. And I don't want to do that. And that's why you'll hear from this point forward, I can promise you this, as long as the good Lord will allow me to be on radio, I will tell you, you're going to hear an urgency in my voice until the day I take my last breath. Because I think time is precious. I think I agree with Mother Angelica when she would say, this is like our training ground. This is it. This is the chance for us to really work out all the problems, all the mess, everything to try and get closer to God. So we don't have to spend time in purgatory. Maybe we can get straight to heaven. We should all be aspiring. We should all be working towards trying to be saints. All of us should. Okay, it's not an ego thing. It's just what we should be doing as Christians. We should try to get back home to God, like St. Thomas Aquinas said. We came from God. We're meant to get back to God. Folks, it's really that simple. We can cloud it with all sorts of, you know, I don't know, distractions. It's really quite simple. The saints knew it. Look at St. Therese. She knew it. The little way, she knew exactly how to focus. Look at Saint Carlo Acutis. Very straightforward, very simple, very direct. He knew how to get to heaven. And we can do that as well if we work together. So please call in and really don't just shout it to the world. Scream it out to the world. This is your megaphone. Let's go, guys. And tell us how much you appreciate and love the sacraments and you love the most holy Eucharist, the source and summit of the Christian life. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. And I am receiving happy anniversary messages. Thank you so much, you guys. I really appreciate it. And I'll send those regards to Marty as well. Okay, keep calling. This is beautiful. Almost full phone lines. I'll be right back. Dedicate on the first Friday of every month, all about the Eucharist. I hope everyone takes part maybe in the first Friday devotions or first Saturday devotions. Don't forget to visit a cemetery for indulgences before the 8th or on the, through the 8th. Make sure you visit a cemetery because this is the month where we really focus on the holy souls. So it's very important. All sorts of ways to get more graces, more blessings into your life. I always say that, get as many as you possibly can. That's the way to get through life and to get through life in a more enjoyable way. That's what I say. All right, we did have full phone lines. One person dropped off. You can come in and pick up that phone line quickly and be on the first set of calls coming on air with me to shout to the world, scream to the world, just really get excited about it throughout the whole entire world about the most holy Eucharist, the source and summit of the Christian life. It's read it in the catechism, folks. Just type in CCC, Catechism of the Catholic Church, on the Eucharist. Okay, and so if you'd like to weigh in on this and talk about it, 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. Okay, before I get to Emma, hold on. You are going to lead the discussion on the Most Holy Eucharist. I want to share something with you about EWTN publishing. This is so cool. Listen to this, you guys. I love this. Drama-free discipline. Dr. Ray Guarendi, Dr. Ray coaches you to parenting success. Boy, oh boy, could I have used that when my kids were little. Dr. Ray Guarendi says parenting doesn't have to be a battle. Dr. Ray gives you play-by-play guidance for the daily dramas every parent faces. Bedtime battles, backseat meltdowns, morning showdowns, and sibling squabbles. You will feel like Dr. Ray is right there with you, walking through the problem, handing you the words, and coaching you on how to respond with calm, clarity, and confidence. And it's so cool. Here's just a couple things you will learn from this. Stop sibling rivalries before they explode. Use blackout discipline to reestablish authority. I've heard about that. It's fascinating. Teach honesty until it becomes second nature. And there's so much more. I could go on and on, but we have full phone lines. Drama-free discipline. You can get it right now. Dr. Ray coaches you to parenting success by Dr. Ray Guarendi. And it's available right now at EWTNRC.com. I just ordered the most beautiful statue at EWTNRC.com just a couple days ago, the Infant of Prague. I needed a new one, so I just ordered it. It's so gorgeous. Anyway, just thought I'd tell you that because we're all family. Okay, let me go to Emma. Emma is in Elkhorn, Wisconsin on Spirit Catholic Radio. Hi, Emma. Emma, are you with... Oh, I'm sorry. I think somebody picked up on Emma. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Emma's on with Matt. So let me just go to Suzanne in Duluth, Minnesota on Real Presence Radio. Suzanne, you're on the air with us.
Oh, hi. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to say that I taught second grade in the Catholic schools for 42 years, and then I stubbed for 3 years, and I always worried every year that I wasn't doing justice to teaching the kids about the sacrament of reconciliation and Eucharist. And 1 year, a little boy came up to me the day after he received, "I'm going to start crying." Mm-hmm. And he said, "I feel different. I feel Jesus is with me."
Aww.
After receiving the sacrament. So that's my story.
Oh, my goodness. How old was this young boy?
Seven.
Oh, he said he felt different?
Yes. Oh. And so every year for a long time, I had him come to the classroom when I would be teaching the sacrament in the spring, mm-hmm. and I would have him talk to the kids about it. So anyway, it was the highlight of my career.
Oh,
my
vocation. I bet. Didn't you love being a catechist? Are you still a catechist?
No, I retired. I have a terminally ill sister that I'm the primary caregiver for,
Aww.
So I really don't have the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I look forward to getting back to it sometime.
Yeah, yeah. Do you feel comfortable giving us your sister's first name? We'd love to pray for her.
Oh, thank you. Her name is Helen.
Helen, okay. And you're taking care of her? Wow.
Well, actually, she's in a facility, but she's in hospice, and I visit her. I'm with her, you know, several times a week, sometimes five times a week. They've actually asked me to not come as often sometimes. But
oh, really?
Yeah. But, she's got fourth-stage bladder cancer and dementia.
Oh.
So she's failing.
Yeah, yeah.
But I have to tell you, I love your show.
Thank you.
It really helps me.
Thank you so much. Oh, well, thank you. I mean, without you, we wouldn't have a show. The show depends on our Take Two family. So thank you. The thank you goes right back to you. So it's the body of Christ working. You know, when the body of Christ works, it works brilliantly, right?
Sure does. Sure mm-hmm. does. And sometimes it's hard to have hope. You know, sometimes things in life just happen and it's hard to have hope. Like, that's kind of where I've been with my sister in the past few months. So when I heard your show today talking about the Eucharist, I thought about that little boy in my class and I thought, oh my goodness, what joy that brought me.
That is so beautiful. Do you can you share with us his first name?
Sean.
Sean. I want to put him in the book too. Mm-hmm. How sweet. Yeah, I know. I have to tell you, when I run into my students for religious education, and they're all grown now. They're in their 20s, 30s. I mean, they're all grown with families. Sometimes I'll run into them in the grocery store or at the mall or something, and they'll say to me little comments about what they learned, and it just, I start crying. I'm like a mess the rest of the day. I'm like, oh my goodness.
You know,
it's like, oh my goodness, you really did listen to me.
I know exactly what you're saying. That happens to me on occasion too, and it just fills me with joy.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for all you do. You're just a beautiful soul. Thank you so much, Suzanne. Call us anytime, okay? And you have a beautiful weekend.
Thank you so much. You too.
All right. We'll talk to you again soon. God bless you. Thanks for leading the discussion. Okay, now we will get to Emma. Emma is in Elkhorn, Wisconsin on Spirit Catholic Radio. Hi, Emma. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi. Go right ahead.
I just wanted to tell my story about, you know, what the Eucharist has done for me, or like how my experience is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, right now I'm not able to take communion right now because I'm not married and we live together.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not able to take it. And I went on to retreat, and to me, I didn't know what this was going to be about or anything, but at first I didn't feel like there was anything for me. And then, so I asked, like, what do you want me to see? You know, I asked our Lord, like, what do you need me to see? And that retreat, there was a point where we went in and they came in with the Eucharist, with the monstrance, and we were able to touch it. We were allowed to touch it. And I thought to myself, you know, I'm never going to be able to even feel it or get close to it. Like, this is the closest I'm ever going to get because I can't receive communion. And so I ran over there and I wanted to touch it as much as I could. And then actually the deacon that brought it in, he let us individually hold on to it. And so when it came to my turn, I held on to it and I thought, I don't want to let it go, but I know that I have to let go now. Like, it's the next person's turn. So I went and I let go, and I was, you know, sad about it, but I understood I had to keep going. So I got up to go, and I couldn't go. I got up to go, and my legs gave out, and I fell to the floor. I fell like a pretzel. And when I fell to the floor, I couldn't get back up, and then I just started crying uncontrollably, and I just said, you know, I can't receive them. I can't receive them. Like, I'll never be able to receive them. And so then I just felt like calm, like an ease. When he held onto my hand, my arm, and said, you will receive, you know, you will receive it. You will receive. He said it three times. And I thought, okay, so that's the Lord giving me that promise that I will one day receive the Eucharist. So that gives me so much hope.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then I was able to get up and go finally, but then I thought, what do you want me to do with this information? Like, what do you need me to do? And then we went back to our you know, seats or whatever. And then I had this, they gave us like a scripture.
Right.
I turned it around and looked at it, and it was Luke 24:5, I think it is. Or it's, why do you look for the living among the dead? I think that's how the verse kind of goes. And it just hit me like, I didn't see it at first, but then they asked us to speak, you know, at church and about our experiences, and they asked volunteers to come up and speak. And I think that's what he wanted me to do. And so I got up there and I did. I spoke about the Eucharist. I spoke to everyone about the Eucharist. Talked about Carlo Acutis, like how he says, you know, the Eucharist is the highway to heaven. And to know that this is the real presence. He is here. He is living among us. He is with us. And I think a lot of people don't see that. And so that's what I did. I spoke about it at church. And I wanted to do that today again to let people know again.
Wow. You definitely have a love a love for the Eucharist and deep in your soul, Emma. A couple things. There is the spiritual communion, right? And I'm sure you have utilized that spiritual communion when you cannot receive, to bring, to ask the Lord, yeah, to be with you, right? So spirit, and a lot of saints did spiritual communions on a regular basis, on a daily basis. And you were right, Luke 24:5. I'm looking at it right now. Okay, so you were spot on. But Emma, you just so I'm clear about it, because I want to pray for this, and I put you in the book. Are you working to fix this situation? You said you're living with your, is it a boyfriend or a spouse? Are you working?
Yeah, I mean, we have a child together. We live, we've been living together for a while. Mm-hmm. I'm okay. Kind of at a loss, and I don't know what to do about it. He doesn't think it's a big deal, that we live like this, and we actually go to mass together, and mm-hmm. he receives, and I don't. And I try to tell him it's not right, but he doesn't think it's a big deal, and so it's hard for
sure. Sure. Okay. So let me just share a couple things. You have some amazing parishes in Wisconsin. You know, I don't know how close you are to Our Lady of Champion. I don't know if you've ever been there to the Marian Apparition in Champion, Wisconsin. But what I would do, I really would take this to prayer, and you know, you're going to have the whole Take Two family praying in this direction for you. Emma, I would really sit down with him and with a priest and get this worked out to where you can have this become something that is recognized by God, so that you can receive the graces as you're raising your family. It's much better in the long run, Emma, to do this God's way instead of our own way. Even if he does not feel like it's that important, or he feels like he's able to receive, which is really serious. Now, you did the right thing. You informed him. So you informed his conscience. So whether he regards it as, you know, if it's a mortal sin or not, you know, you've done your part. So of telling him, he's got to come. He's got to really listen to somebody of authority. And I would really continue to pursue this. What I would do, Emma, is go to the angels, ask your guardian angel, ask his guardian angel to help you with this, to make this right. Okay. Because I could hear the emotion in your voice and from your heart. You love the Eucharist. And I will tell you, it's, you know, I use the example of like a garden hose. Because everybody can relate to a garden hose, right? If you close your eyes and if I say think of a garden hose, everybody can think of a garden hose. And if you have somebody stepping on the garden hose, right, and you turn on, you know, the water at the spigot there or wherever at the start of where the water comes into the hose. Okay, it can trickle through. There's no doubt about it. The water can try to get through, but it's not gonna water the whole yard. It's not going to water the plants the way you want to. It's just going to dribble and trickle out. And it's going to be a slow way of getting to where it needs to go. But don't you want to have this unkinked hose of graces and an amazing amount of this showering of abundance of blessings and graces? Because you don't know when you're going to need it. You're raising a child together. So my prayer for you is that you find the right opportunity, the opening, so you can sit with a priest and him and make this right, so you can all receive worthily. And so that the graces flow like that unkinked garden hose, and it just comes like rushing through to your life and to your relationship and with your child. So that's my prayer for you. Real quickly, Emma, I got a quick comment from you, because you're going to hear the music in 5 seconds.
I actually did talk to a priest and had him explain it to him. And I think more like I ambushed him. I think he felt, and he didn't like that. But I think maybe just keep praying for me. I don't know right now what else to do. And
you got it. You got it. We will pray. We got the whole family praying right now. I'm so sorry. I wish I could talk to you longer, but I've got to hit that pause button. Emma, thank you. Keep us posted. Please always send us an email. We'll be right back. Okay. Okay, we dedicated this whole entire episode to the Most Holy Eucharist. Thank you again, Emma, for calling in. Emma, prayers are already happening with the Take Two family, so start feeling those. Amazing. And Emma, if you want to keep us updated, you can always email us at take2@ewtn.com. We read everything. Okay, I'm going to have to go super fast because we got a lot of calls. I love this. So please forgive me. Everybody's got to go down to the Reader's Digest version so we get as many calls on air as possible. Let's move to Tom. Tom is in Columbus, Ohio on Sirius XM 130. Hi, Tom. You're on the air.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good afternoon, I should say.
That's right.
I'll be brief. I had the opportunity, along with my wife, to hear Father Robert Spitzer speak on the miracles of the Eucharist. Mm-hmm. And very compelling, obviously. Very eye-opening. Never really quite thought of the Eucharist the same after that. It really reinforced the Eucharist being the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. And I guess the question I have for you, in the Reader's Digest version, as you say, you know, how do we, what other tools is there? Because so many Catholics that I know believe that the Eucharist is just a symbol, it is not the actual body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. So what other, you know, I've got the Father Robert Spitzer, who's very scientific and breaks it down and everything else like that, and when he'd explained it. What other tools do you think would be helpful in letting people know that it's not just a symbol?
Absolutely. Okay. So just most recently, I mean, first I want to say I agree with you. Father Robert Spitzer is brilliant. I love him, love, love, love him. And it's not because he told us that he really likes Take Two. So we love him for that. So Father Spitzer, if you're listening, we absolutely love you because you are just so wonderful and how he delivers the truth to all of us. He's incredible, brilliant mind and an amazing priest. So I'm so glad you that was your takeaway from experiencing the formation on the Eucharist through Father Robert Spitzer. Okay, but I mentioned Saint Carlo Acutis, our newest one of our newest canonized saints. He's very active. You know that he put together the Eucharistic miracles. He visited most, if not all, of the places when he put that exhibit together online. Incredible. Now, there is a Eucharistic Miracles book by Joan Carol Cruz. I think it's excellent. I have it. I love it. I used it in religious education classes for many years. But, you know, in my humble opinion, Tom, the best way, in my opinion, to express to somebody, I'm going to get very emotional here, Tom. I got to hold back because I got the rest of the show to do. Okay. The best way I have felt that to communicate that Jesus is truly present, it's not a symbol, truly present, is through your own testimony and how it has transformed your own life. To speak about what it has done for you and your understanding, because it is just natural for people to want something that is really good in somebody else. Okay. It's natural for us to want, when we see somebody else carrying a lot of happiness and joy, we're like, what do they have? What are they doing? I want that. Okay. It's natural to do that. And we must really believe it and show it. So I'll give you an example. If I say to you, Tom, I have to go to Mass, okay, that doesn't do anything. That's going to fall flat. But if I say to you, Tom, I get to go to Mass. Do you hear me? I get to go to Mass. I'm so excited to be there, to be present when heaven and earth touch, when all the angels descend down in the most amazing thing that happens with the Holy Spirit and our Lord and Savior is right there. I mean, it's incredible. And if I explain it that way, that I really believe it, if I also say, Tom, I get to go to Mass because there are people in Nigeria that can't go to Mass because they're afraid they're gonna get killed or hurt, or people in other parts of the country where they're underground trying to go to Mass, but I freely get to get in my car and to sing songs of praise as I'm going to Mass. Does that make a difference, Tom? You see the difference? We're not shouting it. We're not living it enough. I believe that. I feel it so strongly. And I do believe that someday we are all going to have to take responsibility for that and give an account to God for that, because it's so unfortunate. We have been given the biggest gift. And think about it. You still go to daily mass and there's still only 75 to 100 people there. I mean, honestly, it should be standing room only every single day of the week. Tom, what do you say? I'd love to hear your response.
No, I agree. I mean, I go to daily mass, and one of the main reasons I do go to daily mass as often as I can is to receive the Eucharist, is to receive Christ. And, you know, it's interesting, as an aside, we had an incident at our church and other churches in our area where, you know, Wiccans or evil people, if you will, try to get the Eucharist to smuggle it out of the church for their, you know, for lack of a better term, their evil designs. Thankfully, we know of two that were intercepted. But one of the interesting things that our pastor said, he goes, you know what, look at them. They don't think it's just as simple.
That's right.
And, you know, it's just, you know, it's interesting. I love your explanation. I love, you know, I'm armed, you know, to evangelize, you know, to have people appreciate the Eucharist more than I know. But it's really interesting that we got people that are on the other side of this whole thing that try to come in and smuggle out, you know, our Lord for whatever their designs are. And it, what that means is they believe that it's something, you know, more than a symbol.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's why it's a shame that we as Catholic Christians don't realize it. And I go back to this. It's because it's so easy. Our churches are open. We can go to Mass at any time. Okay. And Jesus is there in the tabernacle and we just do our thing. We go on with our life. I'm guilty too, Tom. I'm guilty of it. I'm not trying to preach and say that I'm so great, that I'm the same way. Life goes on and we're getting caught up in all these other things. You know, it's like folks. And no disrespect, but it's like folks who play video games for several hours. You can play video games for several hours, but you can't even drive by a church and stop in and say hello to Jesus. I mean, it makes no sense, Tom. We're not going to be able to make excuses to Jesus. What are we going to say? The video game was more important than you, Lord? I mean, so I love that you're going to daily mass, because that's giving you the strength, and that's going to enable you to be having these encounters and these exchanges with people where you can say, hey, I'm walking the walk. And now I want to talk the talk and tell you what you're missing. And I would shout it to the world, Tom, because the world needs more of Jesus. Absolutely. Tom, you are awesome. Thank you so much for gracing this. Now you got me fired up. Thank you so much for gracing this conversation today. And so keep listening, because I'm going to move to Denise, who's driving through California. Tom, thank you. Like I told you guys, we have a lot of calls now from California. I don't know what's cooking, but California all of a sudden is loving Take Two. So Denise is driving through California on Sirius XM 130, and she wants to talk about the Eucharist. Hi, Denise.
Hi, Debbie. Listen, this is a lovely show. I am enjoying a beautiful day in the Lord and praying for all of us and all of you. I just wanted to share a story. Father Martinez, when we moved to Tucson, and that was about 25 years ago, he shared when there was a Eucharistic miracle that he witnessed during adoration. And after that experience, boy, adoration was at the top of my list after Mass to try to go. But anyway, there was a young couple, and it was adoration. It was a special time with Sister Breege, I think, McKenna from
Breege
Ireland.
Breege McKenna. Yes, Breege McKenna.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And so they were having adoration here, and this young couple in the front of the church had a little toddler, or a three-year-old is what Father said. And the three-year-old all of a sudden put his arms out towards the monstrance. And they were invited to come closer. And he said he was not able to speak or hear since birth. And when he was putting his arms out, he suddenly said the word Jesus.
Aww.
And he was instantly healed. He could talk. And I don't know where he is now. He's probably 30 years old, but it was just such an amazing thing, and really a hope and a faith booster for our family.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Praise God. But Denise, here's the thing. You experienced that miracle and understood it, and you got to share it with all of us. And it's something that you can attest to by a Eucharistic miracle that took place. And there's hundreds, over 100 Eucharistic miracles that St. Carlo Acutis put together, documented miracles. We have the miracles. And so why are there still people, Catholic Christians, that don't believe? Why? Because they are choosing to not see the truth. They're choosing it. And that's a dangerous position to be in. When you choose, when you have the evidence right in front of you, when you have the proof right in front of you, and you're saying, no, I don't believe, or I don't know, I'm still doubting, okay? That's a dangerous spiritual position to be in, because that's going to carry with you all the way through your life unless something changes, unless you have some kind of major epiphany or conversion or something of that nature. And then if you take that into eternity, that could be very problematic for the soul. So, I mean, if you're doubting, if you're unsure, take a look at all these documented Eucharistic miracles. Listen to what Denise is just sharing, okay? And then really take it to heart and say, Lord, show me, help me to believe. Help me to fix this unbelief. Help me to grow in holiness and gain the clarity. But you got to get in a state of grace, I believe. You got to get in a state of grace, and so that you have that direct connection with God to receive that clarity. So Denise, this is why we're doing shows like this, so that people can kind of wake up, guys, wake up. Okay? He is truly present in the Most Holy Eucharist. Denise, it's had such an incredible impact on you, didn't it? I'm sorry, Denise, you cut out a little. What'd you say?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely, we can ask for an increase in the virtue of faith. And when we go by the church, there's a tabernacle. Jesus is there. Just say, Lord, you know, Jesus, what's that special prayer? Oh, my, Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, I implore to love you more and more. Mm-hmm. And just ask, and you will receive. That definitely happens for our family.
Absolutely. Beautiful.
And then live the truth, you know. Thank you so much for programs like this.
Oh, thank you, Denise. You're cutting out a bit, but I got to tell you, I know you got to focus on driving in California. So safe driving. You've got your guardian angel beside you. Call us again, Denise. Beautiful contribution to this Eucharist show. Okay, and Father Breege McKenna, she's the one who always says, if you go by a church, I know that we as Catholic Christians, we make the sign of the cross, and that's beautiful. But she's saying, why don't you pull in for 5 minutes and say hello to Jesus? And I agree with that. Okay. Did I say Father? I said Sister Breege McKenna. Okay, I didn't say Father. I hope I didn't. Oh, I did. I'm sorry. Please forgive me, because I just had a text from a priest. I'm sorry. My producer is got me. I'm going so fast now. I said Father Breege. I said Sister Breege McKenna. Okay, not Father. We had one of our priests is listening to the show right now and said absolutely loves the conversation we're having here on Take Two. So please forgive me. I'm going really fast now. Ainsley in Louisiana, Sirius XM 130. Ainsley is waiting so patiently. Welcome to Take Two. Hi, Ainsley.
Yes. Hi, Debbie. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much. Did I get your first name correct?
Yes, Ainsley.
Oh, Ainsley. Ainsley. Thank you so much. Yep. Thank you, Ainsley.
I have a comment.
Sure.
I have a comment to the effect that I'm a convert to Catholicism 50 years last Easter Vigil. I'm an old guy, 83, so 60 years old. Your happy birthday, by the way. That's not
Thank
old,
you.
Okay? And I have was a member of several non-Catholic churches, and my wife that I married, that I was blessed to marry, was a cradle Catholic. She started taking me to Mass with her, and I can tell you that part of my conversion was the strong draw was the Eucharist.
Mm.
Every time that priest held that Eucharist up, and it became the body and blood of Jesus, that was a powerful draw for me. And it sustained me and my wife through many things, believe me.
Mm-hmm.
We lost two of our three sons in accidents 14 years apart.
Aww.
We never lost our faith and lost our vision and kept our eye on the goal of being with Jesus one day. Mm-hmm. And my wife passed away the first hour of this year after 53 years of marriage. And she is, I know she was a very spiritual woman, and I pray to her because I'm very, very certain she's in heaven.
Mm.
The other thing is, I have two adoration hours, early morning adoration hours, from 1 o'clock in the morning to 2 o'clock in the morning, and it's such a spiritual time to be in the presence of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And when I finish my hour, I walk up to the host and put my hand on it and thank him for all of the graces and blessings that he gives me.
Oh, and I love it.
I'm also a Eucharistic minister at our church here in South Louisiana. And that is a powerful blessing and so many graces for that. I have a lady that will be 100 years old in late January, and she welcomed me with open arms, and it's such a joy to see these elder people be happy to see us come with you.
Wow. Yeah, for those that are homebound and those that need to receive the Eucharist, it's such a beautiful ministry to be able to bring our Lord to them. Absolutely. Ansley, I have to tell you, can you share with us? I brought the prayer book out. I'm so sorry for the loss. You sounds like what a beautiful relationship, but you were sharing that, you know, she's your intercessor now, your wife. I love that. You're still staying beautifully close to your wife. And through the Eucharist, we all are united. She's alive now, more in Christ than ever. Can you share with us her first name?
My first name is Ansley, A-N-S-L-E-Y.
And your wife?
My wife was Loretta.
Loretta. Okay, I want to put her in the prayer book, so thank you
so much.
Oh, absolutely, and thank you for being an extraordinary minister of Holy Communion. Thank you so very much, and you're just a beautiful soul, and we're so glad you called in, and please continue to listen. I'm going to try to go really fast and get more callers in, and this is just a beautiful way of us to share how much we love the Eucharist and what it's doing in our lives in order for us to, by way of conversion, and you shared that with your testimony. Thank you. Okay, let me just share real quickly before I get to Marcia. Pro-Life Weekly is Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Stay informed and educated with the latest news and truth on abortion, euthanasia, assisted suicide, and the culture of death. And we can send EWTN's Pro-Life Weekly directly to your email inbox each week. All you have to do is visit EWTN.com and click on subscribe. Okay, I just wanted to share, we're getting a lot of our priests that love Take Two are sending me messages. I'm seeing them come up on the screens. I love our priests. They're loving this topic. I wish we had more time. So fathers, if you're all listening, I'll try to go as fast as possible to get the final callers in so you, as our shepherds, can hear what the faithful are saying and how much they love the Eucharist. Okay, Marcia, Sioux Falls, South Dakota on Real Presence Radio. Marcia, take it away.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi. Go right ahead.
Okay. The big deal for me with the Holy Eucharist was I was born and raised Episcopal, worked at a Lutheran church for 13 years, and fell in love with a Catholic man.
Mm.
And he never pushed me, he never anything, and I felt this tap on the shoulder about taking the Holy Eucharist, and I didn't even know what that was.
Hmm.
And then I was listening to the people from where I worked at the Lutheran church, and they worship Mary, they this and that. And so I signed up for classes, RCII classes, And I kept listening to the people at work, and I thought, nope, not doing it. Not sign- I'm not going to take those classes.
Right.
So I canceled. And then it, this tapping on my shoulder would not go away.
Hmm.
It was you take the Holy Eucharist with your husband. Take it, you know, take the classes. Do the Holy Eucharist with your husband. So I signed up again, and I took it. And the best thing that ever happened to me, I mean, we go to Mass every week. The minute I put it on my tongue,
mm-hmm.
it's like I feel a burst of strength that I was fizzling out at the end of the week, you know?
Yeah.
And then I get this burst of strength that I can go on.
Absolutely. That's a spiritual strength. That's like, you know, getting gasoline in the gas tank of your car.
Yeah.
It's a spiritual strength to keep you going. This world is tough, Marcia, and God, and Jesus said, I will be with you. He's with us. And he's now, we can take him into us the most intimate way. Marcia, you nailed it. It's so beautiful. I wish I had longer to chat. I'm going to try to squeeze in a few more callers because the phone lines are just lighting up. But Marcia, you are awesome. Thank you so much. I put you in the book as well if you have any private intentions, because I brought the prayer book out. So thank you for calling and sharing your love for the Eucharist. Joanna is up next in Bloomington, Illinois on Catholic Spirit Radio. Hi, Joanna.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm grateful. My phone is not being good.
You go right ahead.
I just have the story of my Eucharist story is,
sure.
I'm a cradle Lutheran, Missouri Synod, so the stricter kind. And I mm-hmm. have a sister-in-law who's Catholic. I'm deeply in love with my niece and nephew. I love spending time with them. They're so much fun. And I would go to church on holidays or special occasions for my niece and nephew. And so when my nephew was being confirmed, the Holy Spirit juice was just flowing all over that church, because I suddenly felt just the sense of urgency to get to my church, the Catholic Church. And so the following Easter, I converted to Catholicism. And
wow.
I love being Catholic. I said for days, I'm Catholic. I'm Catholic. And now it's like, oh, I get to take the Eucharist. And now I understand why everybody is so excited about the Eucharist. It mm-hmm. is just a rejuvenation just immediately when it's placed in my hand.
Amen.
So that's
Amen. It's your story, and it's a great story, and welcome home. Beautiful, beautiful. Joanna, thank you so much for contributing to this amazing First Friday episode of Take Two. God bless you, and keep listening to your wonderful station there, Catholic Spirit Radio. Okay, Tony in Salem, Oregon, Sirius XM 130. Tony, you will be our final caller, and you have 2 minutes. I'm going to give you a solid 2 minutes, Tony.
Oh, hey, thanks for taking my call. I love your show. Happy
Thank
birthday.
You.
And
Thank
I just
you.
Wanted to shout out to, I toiled with becoming a Eucharistic minister for a couple of years. And finally I said, I'm just going to do it, because I just got tired of seeing the same people having to, you know, reschedule for the ministry. And I tell you, it has changed my whole perspective on my faith. And like when I'm up there on the altar and receiving the chalice, and it's like a gift to be able to give the Eucharist to the parishioners. And it's mm-hmm. like, you can feel like the Holy Spirit is just like, wow. And then, you know, and then you just kind of like, it's, I just encourage parishioners, if you have any inkling to really jack your faith up,
mm-hmm.
get involved with the ministry and, you know, being a Eucharistic minister, it's like, man, I am just like so on fire for this. And
mm-hmm.
I'd like to shout out to my non-Catholic Christian friends that, man, if you think you have a great relationship with the Lord, wait until you receive the Eucharist.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I
Amen.
Just wanted to share that with your listeners and
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I love your show. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Tony. And thank you for the birthday wishes. Thank you so much. And Tony, you're spot on. I was an extraordinary minister of Holy Communion for 20 years. I totally agree with you. And I agree to our non-Catholic brothers and sisters. If you feel you have a great relationship with Jesus now, just if you want to get it so heightened and extremely intimate, think about coming into the Holy Mother Church and receiving our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the most holy Eucharist, because he's truly present. Tony, you nailed it. Thank you so much. You were the perfect caller to end this broadcast. God bless you, sir. Have a beautiful weekend. Okay, you'll hear the music. Thank you to the show team, Matt, Michael, and Pedro, doing such a fine job. Thank you to everybody that participated. Thank you for the anniversary wishes, birthday wishes. Thank you so much. Join us tomorrow on the Spirit World, 10 a.m. Central, 11 a.m. Eastern, as we talk about the four Marian dogmas and the new Vatican document that came out about Mary's titles. So we'll discuss that. And we're taking your calls on Monday. When God says, wait, have you had your patience tested? Ooh, that's going to be a good topic on Take Two. Okay, you guys, now you can get started with your weekend. Until Monday, have a beautiful and blessed day. We'll see you real soon.